is actually called, this week is called what? Does anybody know? Gaudete, which means rejoicing. This is the time for rejoicing that the Savior is coming. Well, I've been spending a lot of time thinking about joy, thinking about well-being, and I have news for you tonight. The oldest person here, I think, is George, and he would seem to be the most joyful person here, according to The Economist and their study. For they say that joy goes on a U-curve, that joy is in youth. Oh, somebody's older than George, huh? Bob. Okay, Bob is the most joyful person here then, because there's this U-curve in your 30s and 40s. That's your time of least joy. So if you're in that frame, just know that when you hit about 53, it starts going up. I'm 59, so I'm feeling encouraged. So be blessed. That can be good news for all of us, that the older you get, maybe the better you get, maybe the happier you get. One philosopher said, "How pleasant is the day when we give up trying to be young or slender." So there you go. There we go. We are made for joy. That is such good news. What is the joy that God planned for us from the beginning of creation? And it was this unbroken fellowship and union with Him, with the Trinity, and that embraced all of humanity and all of creation. It was right relationships from which flourishing would spring. Ephesians 1, 4, and 5 says it in a beautiful way. I'm going to say it closely because I want you to listen carefully to what it says. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance. Get that? In advance. Before He made the world, He decided to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do. And it gave Him great joy. I love that. I love that. I just want to marinate in that. It's so rich that from the beginning, before creation even happened, this was God's plan, and it gave Him joy, and He has joy in us, and He's invited us into that joy. As we talk about joy, I want to talk about some of the things that give me joy and what gives you joy. I have joy in the afterglow of a party. So Tuesday night, it was fabulous to have you all there. But after you left, we pulled up the rocking chairs, and we sat by the fire with a few people that remained, and it was a fabulous debrief. Just a little chat about the night, what we'd enjoyed, how it had gone. For me, there's rich joy in those moments. Or a few years ago, after C.W. Mundy and his group played outside for us on that beautiful evening, I just laid on a bench out by the fire and thought, I don't think it gets any better than this. I don't know. I'm not sure it does. You know, I have a dream that I will never forget. And it was at a point in our life that was very stressful. It was during my husband's residency. And the dream was of going back to my childhood when I was about 5 years old. And on Saturday mornings, my sister and I would get up and we'd snuggle on the couch, the cartoons were on, and we'd put blankets over our head. And we'd just sit and giggle. And in this dream, I had gone back to that moment and I was under the blanket, just giggling without a care in the world. Those are moments for me that bring great joy. I want to give you a moment to think. Why don't you just even shut your eyes? Is there a moment that you consider a truly joyful moment for yourself? What made that moment so good? I hope that each of you can tap into one. I want you to remember that. We'll circle back. Well, what do you think? Do you think that God is joyful? I think he is. You know, we hear a lot about God's wrath. We hear a lot about the work of God. But in the beginning, he started with joy and he continues. His purpose is joy. Let me read you another passage from Psalm 16. And again, I'm going to take it slow. I want you to take it in. Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. Remember, he's seeking refuge. My body rests in safety, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. That's good news, but you know what? We don't always feel joy. Something's happened to our joy. I had a rough week this week preparing this message on joy. Who knew? It was just crummy. There were really good things in this week, as in I had a grandchild that was born, a little girl. But this was just a little painful for me this week, and maybe it was a spiritual battle. You know, maybe that was it, but maybe it was a good reminder that many of us do battles to find joy. Where did our joy go? Let me read this to you from N.T. Wright. He says, made for spirituality, we wallow in introspection. Made for joy, we settle for pleasure. Made for justice, we clamor for vengeance. Made for relationship, we insist on our own way. Made for beauty, we are satisfied with sentiment. But new creation has already begun. The sun has begun to rise. Christians are called to leave behind in the tomb of Jesus Christ all that belongs to the brokenness and incompleteness of the present world. That, quite simply, is what it means to be Christian, to follow Jesus Christ into the new world, into God's new world, which he has thrown open before us. Yeah. So joy has been in prison for many of us. Why is that? Well, sin, then death, entered the world, and all the joy was literally sucked out of the room. Except for God. God sought out Adam and Eve. He went after them. Although they experienced the consequences of their immaturity, he pursued them, seeing them as more than their shortcomings, more than their rebellion. But from that time to this time, it's so tempting to give ourselves to wrong things. We've misunderstood joy's true nature, and we've settled for pseudo-joy. We thought joy came from beeps. Do you know what beeps is? We thought joy came from behaviors, events, experiences, people, substances. Put together, that spells beeps. But in another way, joy has been wrongly taken from us. Many of us have experienced joy that has been robbed. And you know what? We lay down our patterns for joy at a really young age. Joy comes from the look on our mother's face and the safety of that. Joy comes from the kindness extended to us by our fathers. And when these things are wrongly ordered, when it's a low joy environment for us, our brains can be organized around anxiety, fear, and avoidance of pain. But there's still even good news for that. God can recreate those situations. Let me find my way here. I want to tell you a story. When we traveled as a family through Europe, it was when our daughter Liesl was graduated from high school, and we thought, this is our last moment together. As you see, it really wasn't our last moment together, but we thought that. We thought, this is it, baby. And so we traveled through Europe together, and we went to Africa also. But there was a point in time I was keeping a journal. I was keeping track of the story of our trip. And then I got a glimpse. My daughter read me some of her journal. And in her journal, it actually was better than the event itself. Her skill at writing the story was phenomenal. And actually, that's what Jesus does for our stories. He rewrites our stories. It was hard to keep writing my journal after that moment. But Jesus tells our stories in beautiful ways, in truthful ways. He says that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. It's also true, we've been adopted as his sons and daughters. It's also true that we've been included in the life of God. Here's even greater truth. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The truth is, you have been invited to accept your acceptance. How does the Holy Spirit work to restore our joy? I've spent more and more time lately thinking about the work of the Holy Spirit and just being overjoyed that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to live our life through us. This is what 1 Thessalonians 1 says. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true, and you know of our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit, in spite of the severe suffering that it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. So joy from the Holy Spirit in the midst of severe suffering, that's a good gift. Galatians 5:22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. How about for you? Do you remember a time in your own life when you felt the comfort of the Holy Spirit bringing you joy, and maybe in the midst of a difficult time, in the midst of a joyful moment? These are what we call Emmanuel stories. Those are God with us stories. These are the stories that call us, keep us, and remind us of who we are. It's good to remember what the Lord has done for you. It helps you rest in his continued work. So how do we live as restored and joyful people? Is this an undue burden to put on yourself, or is it a blessing for your soul? These little boots remind me of Jemima, my granddaughter. She, you'd think she'd have a 50-50 chance of getting her shoes on the right feet, but it really doesn't work that way, and they're often on the wrong feet. And you could bother to point that out, but if you do, it's kind of a problem. It's okay if you don't notice. But right living has right consequences, and Shoes on the right feet. If you want to try it sometime, put your shoes on the wrong feet and try that for a day. So although it's a burden for Jemima, it's probably worthy of putting the right shoes on the right feet. And so we need to do right living that leads to right joy. Henry Nouwen says, joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. So what is right joy? Where does it come from? It's not from unhealthy addictions and attachments or objects of pleasure that become toxic for us. I want to talk again about dogs. You've seen this before, but here's the question. Why are my dogs so happy? And I've thought about this in the midst of joy. We gave 5 dogs baths and blow dries today. It brought me great joy. I don't know about them. But you know what? Dogs know how to do a lot of things. They know how to take a quick nap. They know how to be refreshed. They don't wrap their heads around troubles that are too big for them. And they love a good romp. They know how to use their senses to find simple pleasures, and they bring their whole self to the moment. Their needs are met. They have a leader, and in that leader, they find stability and safety. They have challenges that build their confidence and relationship, and they're socialized so that they don't have inappropriate fears. But here's the good news I want you to know. If your childhood wasn't all that it could have been, if your mom and dad weren't all that they could have been, if life was hard, rescue dogs teach us that your past does not have to dictate your future. Dogs can be retrained to trust again and to flourish. Joy can be ours. Joy can be the ground that we now stand. Actually, joy is a type of resistance. It is singing the Lord's song in a foreign land. Joy is preaching to yourself. We have a divine brother who sits next to us when we say, my God, and he has lifted us up and is sharing his joy with us. What if we viewed joy more deeply as our identity than our attitude? It's a way of being. It's a place in God's presence. Actually, joy is being exactly who you were made to be in community. Sometimes you have to push through the pain of community. Sometimes it would be easier to stay at home. There is nothing more wonderful than being with someone who is comfortable in their own skin and they're living what they love. This is Bruce's happy spot, isn't it? Too bad he's not here to see it. You can tell when someone is in their element. Have you taken the time to know when you are in your element? Have you been purposeful enough to know who you are and what pleasures of yours are the true and good ones that God wants you to cultivate? I think this is Joy's happy, May's happy place, and it gives me a lot of joy to see May in her happy place because I benefit from the good food. This is one of my happy places. This is a quilt that I made this past week. I finished it this past week. But for me, quilting is a chance to pause. It's a chance to refresh. I listen to messages online. I pray. I get to be creative. I enjoy that whole process. It's a good place for me to be. Sometimes joy takes patience. A few years ago, we had grandchildren for 2 days a week and a night, and I thought it would be great if every one of those nights we went to Chick-fil-A because they did face painting. And it was just a fabulous thing, except this woman was an incredible perfectionist. And the patience that it took to wait in that line to get your face painted. By the time we got home, it was about 8:30, and it was time to wash it all off and go to bed. But I think the best thing that maybe Ada learned in that moment was patience. Joy must also be guarded. Joy sometimes grows in dark places. We can grow joy, perhaps, by planting a saltine cracker. I want to tell you about that. I mentioned Gracia and Martin Burnham a few months ago. They were missionaries that were captured by the Abu Sayyaf rebels in the Philippines, and they remain in captivity for over a year. I've been impressed by them, and when we were away last month, we met a man, actually on our Disney cruise, and he was with New Tribes Mission. He had been the man over Martin Burnham during that time that he was a captive. He told a story about Martin that was incredible. He said he was an incredible man that lived out of a deep rootedness of joy. Martin, in captivity, learned the birthdays of all the people that were there, even as captors. He remembered their birthdays, and every once in a while they'd be given a saltine cracker, and he would save his saltine crackers. And when it was somebody's birthday, he would give them a saltine cracker. It doesn't take much, does it, to grow joy in other people, maybe just a saltine cracker. That story is a precious story of somebody that said, what little do I have? What do I have in my hand that can bring joy to others? And it was that small. It was a cracker. I would ask you this. What rhythms do you have in your life now so that you can find joy? What roots are you sinking so that joy can be an overflow? Can you be joyful on purpose when you wake up in the morning? Don't decide to see what the day might bring, to see what kind of day you'll have. You get to decide, will you live in joy or will you live out of fear, anger, or scarcity? Will you be fully present to the life that you're already living? So let's talk about a cup of tea. These are somebody else's words I want to read to you. You must be completely awake in the present to enjoy your tea. Only in the awareness of the present can your hands feel the pleasant warmth of the cup. Only in the present can you savor the aroma, taste the sweetness, appreciate the delicacy. If you are ruminating about the past or worrying about the future, you will completely miss the experience of enjoying the cup of tea. You will look down at the cup and the tea will be gone. Life is like that. If you are not fully present, you will look around and it will be gone. You will have missed the feel, the aroma, the delicacy, and the beauty of life. It will seem to be speeding past you. The past is finished. Learn from it and let it go. The future is not even here yet. Plan for it, but don't waste your time worrying about it. Worrying is worthless. When you stop ruminating about what has already happened, when you stop worrying about what might never happen, and when you will be in the present moment, then you will begin to experience joy in life. So live this moment refreshed. Joy can be yours, and more joy can be yours. Could you bow your heads? This is my prayer for you. May the Son of God, who is already formed in you, grow in you, so that for you, he will become immeasurable. And in you, he will become laughter, exultation, the fullness of joy, which no one can take from you. Amen.